Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Monday morning. It's Monday, September 17th, the feast of a doctor of the church, another great doctor of the church, St. Bellarmine. And we have a lot of news to cover this morning, a lot of breaking news, of course, with the hurricane, and we're praying for all the victims down there. Even though it keeps getting downgraded, now it's downgraded to a tropical storm, the big deal is the flooding and the rain, and other parts of the country on the East Coast are going to be affected. So we will let you know about that in the news, and we're keeping all those folks in our prayers. Appreciate your prayers for the family of our dear friend at Ave Maria Radio and EWTN and one of our hosts, Father John Mercado, whose mom, Thelma, passed away over the weekend. I posted it on my Facebook page on Saturday, and my Facebook page exploded with beautiful prayers and great statements of support. So really appreciate you reaching out to Father John and his family. It's been a rough 2 years for Padre. He lost his brother Peter and his father in the same year, and then now his mom Thelma, with whom he was very close. So really appreciate it. There's information on my Facebook page, and just keep Father John Mercado, one of our most popular hosts, especially here at Ave Maria Radio, in your prayers as a family prepares to honor the life of their beautiful mom and also lay her to rest. So we pray for her and the family. Coming up this morning, we continue our prayers for Holy Mother Church, and we continue our discussion also on the latest. There was a terrific piece on Catholic World Report last week that I posted before the weekend. It came out, I believe, on Thursday, and I posted it because it kind of capsulized and summarized everything that was going on. I mean, it was such a busy news week regarding the developments in the church. And so the writer of this piece, Christopher Altieri, is going to be joining me to kind of give us a summary and then look at some of the developments going on this week as well. Some stories about settlements being paid out and some raids that took place in Chile regarding the abuse crisis there. What's happening or is not happening in Rome. We'll take your calls as well. We'll give you the number right after the break. Chris will be with us right after the break. And then we're going to close out a Monday morning. The other big news that happened recently was the election of a new president, or the choice, I should say, of a new president for Planned Parenthood to replace Cecile Richards. And they chose a doctor who was very active in the abortion movement on the East Coast. And I think it's very significant PR-wise that they chose a medical professional because of all the attacks that Planned Parenthood has undergone, and rightfully so, for the whole aborted baby parts story and all the other scandals that they faced in the last few years. So they have major PR to do in terms of trying to get their image back where it once was. I don't think it's working, but this is their latest effort. So we'll chat with our friends at Americans United for Life. Catherine Glenn Foster is a president and CEO, and she joins us on a Monday. I also want to thank you for your many emails and your comments regarding our coverage here at EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. We have all these different news outlets and our programs that are trying to keep you up to date on the crisis, and I know it's not easy. It really isn't easy. It's not easy for us either. It's not any fun, let me tell you, to report this stuff, but I heard from someone else who used to listen to another radio network that I'm not going to name, and she said they were attempting to discuss the crisis on the air, and the people were being told to pray and to fast, but nothing else was really being discussed. And so this particular woman says she stopped listening and started listening to us at Ave Maria Radio and EWTN because despite of how painful it is, she wants to be up to date. She wants to know what's happening, and she wants to know what she can do about it. So we appreciate that. Also heard, and I just want to share this email from Violet, and she's a new Catholic. She's a convert. She's a listener of ours on Holy Family Radio. And she's obviously a real deep thinker and a prayer warrior because she has some great analogies as to what's going on. And I want to share this with you. And I'm thinking about, and I talked about this morning in the first hour of my program, our gospel yesterday, in terms of St. Peter recognizes when Jesus takes the apostles up to Caesarea Philippi, Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" And then Peter eventually answers, "You are the Son of the living God. You are the Christ." And so then they have this conversation, and Jesus proceeds to tell them what's going to happen in terms of how Jesus is going to be sacrificed and crucified. And Peter doesn't want anything yet. Nothing from nobody. Doesn't want to hear about it. And then Jesus gets very mad at Peter and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because he wasn't allowing what had to happen, or didn't want what had to happen to happen. And I think a lot of us are going through that, right? We don't want to think the worst. We want to think the best, and we want answers. We don't want to think that, God forbid, this could go all the way up to the highest places. But because there have been allegations, which close to now 4 dozen bishops claim are credible allegations, not to mention theologians and other church experts, the allegations from Archbishop Vigano, that this needs to be traced. Nobody's condemning, nobody's calling for resignations, but the allegations need to be investigated. If not, and if we don't follow the cross wherever it takes us, it could make a bad situation even worse. And this is where Violet, who's a nurse, and her email comes in. I think it's a really good analogy. She says, "Dear Teresa, every morning I listen to your broadcast on Holy Family Radio. I listen to the many guests you've brought onto the show these last few weeks as a scandal unfolds and is now uncovering a path possibly all the way to the Vatican. As a nurse, it reminds me of the times I would find a patient with a hidden infected wound that even they did not know they had. Sometimes it's a diabetic sore on the bottom of the foot, or maybe a small tunneling wound that began as a bruise or a pimple. Whatever the origin of the wound, in each case, it is because it was hidden and untreated that allowed it to grow, oftentimes leading to sepsis, amputations, even death. Treating these wounds is not a pretty task. I'll spare you the details." She goes on to say, "Yet however unpleasant, lives are saved by the diligence." She also says, "A task of uncovering and treating the infected wounds this present scandal has caused the church is not pleasant, but I believe it is God's divine mercy that revealed it all in the first place. As a new convert, I'm learning to love the Catholic people more and more as I watch how they're dealing with all of this. I attend a small parish, but the love and faithfulness of the common folk who worship there compels me to learn more and to reach deeper into the faith. It is the same love and faithfulness that I experience when I partake of the Eucharist. Once the entirety of this current infected wound has been exposed, lanced, drained, and medicated, the diligent love of the Catholic common folk will once again prevail. It's God's love extended and in action. Thank you for bringing us the facts, even if they are unpleasant. Things will probably get a lot worse before they get better. Thank you," and she's referring to all of us here, and I want to share credit and give credit where credit is due to Al and all the folks at EWTN, to Raymond, and to all the different shows and all the different outlets that are covering this. "Thank you for having the stomach for such work. It is a lot easier to turn a blind eye and pretend none of it happened. But that's how everything got this bad in the first place." And that's Violet from Western Michigan listening on Holy Family Radio. It is 8 minutes past the hour. I do hope your Monday is going well so far. Let's take a look at the news and see what's happening in and around our world on this Monday morning. Well, nearly 300 people will be compensated by the Diocese of Rockville Center for Clergy Sex Abuse. The diocese, located on Long Island, receiving the claims after establishing a program for victims last fall. The survivors' lawyers saying the settlements ranging from $25,000 to $500,000. And as part of the investigation into sexual crimes against minors committed by the members of the Catholic Church in Chile, Catholic News Agency reporting, the offices of four archdioceses were raided on Thursday. The raids carried out by prosecutors and police, the latest in a series which have been carried out in recent months, including at the Santiago Tribunal and the Chilean Conference of Catholic Bishops. In an address at the Faith and Reason Institute at Gonzaga University, the Archbishop of Philadelphia say loss of faith leads to a number of problems in society. Well, there are signs of hope in regards to faith in the U.S., which is still the most faithful country in the developed world, the Archbishop says. The country is also bleeding out when it comes to people who identify as religious, especially among the young. He said the hemorrhaging of faith is what makes the current scandals in the church all the more difficult to bear. Archbishop Chaput saying our country and the world need a pure voice speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ as a response, and this is what makes the current sex abuse crisis in the church so damaging and so dangerous, like a lit match in a room full of kindling. The leaders tasked with witnessing Christian truth to the world as bishops and religious superiors are exactly, he said, the men who have too often failed their people, failed in their ministry, and even actively betrayed their vocation. He said, we bishops and the Vatican itself are now seen as the problem. We need to face that fact honestly and work to change it by our actions. The Archbishop went on to say in his talk, the loss of faith has a detrimental impact on three areas, sex, technology, and the basic premises that can shape or misshape society. Catholic News Agency has a story on the Archbishop's talk as well. You can check that out. In other news this morning, the big story is Hurricane Florence. The storm that was once Hurricane Florence is only a tropical depression technically, but it's expected still to wreak a lot of havoc, pouring out more than 3 feet of rain before it moves from the Carolinas. Here's meteorologist Bill Cairns.
We are still dealing with thunderstorms in eastern North Carolina. It's not as widespread as it once was, but just the fact that it's still pouring and still raining. People, there's some towns that are just cut off because all the roads have been washed away or they're flooded.
The National Hurricane Center is saying the storm will continue to spread catastrophic and historic flooding for days. Florence is now blamed for some 18 deaths and well over 500,000 homes and businesses still have no electricity. Emergency teams have rescued more than 900 people in North Carolina alone. Florence is currently located about 145 miles west-northwest of Greensboro, North Carolina, with top winds down to 30 miles per hour. U.S. Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Carl Schultz says the president, as Mark Mayfield reports, is all in when it comes to providing assistance for Hurricane Florence.
On ABC's This Week, Schultz said that Trump is willing to provide anything the feds need in order to support the residents and states that are impacted by the storm.
The president is completely leaning in. Anything the feds need to do to support the locals, the state partners here in South Carolina and North Carolina, we feel fully supported.
The admiral is among those who speak with the president to brief him about storm updates, and they say they've told him about the flooding and the massive risks that the storm poses. He says he feels completely confident they have enough resources in the region to help with evacuation efforts, and they're ready to respond to the situation.
Folks in Wilmington, meanwhile, say they're trying to recover from the devastation caused by the storm.
It took us about an hour to cut our way out. Big trees all over the place. We've been working for the last couple of years trying to elevate these properties and make them more storm safe.
Folks in southwestern Virginia are preparing to deal with the remnants of the storm moving through their neck of the woods. Flash flood warnings are in effect for that part of the state today and flash flood watches until tomorrow. The governor there saying the western third of Virginia could see, get this, up to 12 inches of rain as a depression moves up the I-81 corridor. And the remnants of Florence expected to dump rain on those of you who are in eastern Pennsylvania and central Pennsylvania as well. Downgraded again to a depression, the storm system still packing a punch with tons of rain. Could drop anywhere between 2 to 8 inches across the Commonwealth throughout the day into tomorrow. And to keep in mind, that could lead to flash flooding in some areas. And finally, in our news segment at about 13 minutes past the hour on a Monday morning, Senator Kennedy, John Kennedy, is describing the Kavanaugh confirmation process as an intergalactic freak show. On Fox News Sunday, the Louisiana Republican expressing his anger toward California Senator Dianne Feinstein.
Senator Feinstein's had the letter since July for 3 months. She said nothing. Nothing. Zero. Nada. Zilch.
Feinstein has allegedly had the letter with allegations against Kavanaugh since July, but failed to mention or produce it at the confirmation hearing or the confidential session. Kennedy believes most Americans are looking at this situation and thinking to themselves, Congress has hit rock bottom. He said he's embarrassed by the whole process and says he's slightly offended as he sits on the Judiciary Committee and believes that they were serious about it. They should have told him about it. Judge Kavanaugh, meanwhile, strongly denying the allegations. 14 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open. Hope you're having a blessed Monday morning. If you'd like to call in with a question, we're going to be discussing last week and where we go from here. It's been a crazy busy week in terms of learning more about what's happening in Holy Mother Church. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. Christopher Lautier joins me up next.
This program is brought to you in part by the following nonprofit organization.
Catholic healthcare professionals and leaders, how can we best apply the principles of Humanae Vitae in medicine today with clinical and ethical excellence? the National Catholic Bioethics Center, St. Louis University, and seven Catholic healthcare systems will explore how at the upcoming Advancing Humanity Vitae Conference, October 11th through the 13th in St. Louis. To learn more, go to hvandhealthcare.com. That's hvandhealthcare.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Discover what others say about Franciscan University of Steubenville. Forbes ranks Franciscan University in the top 10% of all U.S. colleges. U.S. News & World Report puts Franciscan in the top tier of Midwest colleges. And the Cardinal Newman Society says Franciscan University provides a faithful Catholic education. Discover a university that is academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Discover Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at charitymobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
Welcome back. Terrific summary of all the activities and developments, and Christopher and I just talking during the break. It's very difficult to keep up on all this. That's why we're losing a lot of sleep and spending a lot of time on the internet and on the phone, because it's a story that just keeps developing, and because, of course, the church is universal, there's so many stories coming out of so many places. I just want to remind you that this is on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Mrs. Teresa Tomeo, and the article got a really good response, people thanking Christopher for the great summary that he gave. A week of controversy, resignations, rumors, meetings, and mirth. And this is published on the CatholicWorldReport.com site. They do a great job. We had Carl Olson on not too long ago about one of his pieces as well. And Christopher Altieri is co-founder and GM of Ocaris Media, and he's also a writer and has really been keeping on top of the story, and he's the author of a book, The Soul of a Nation. Christopher, thanks for your summary. I mean, I've got, you know, almost 40 years under my belt as a journalist and Catholic interviewer and also a secular reporter, and I couldn't keep, my head was spinning last week, and I've been doing this for a really long time. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was a dizzying week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Teresa.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem to have let up. We're not getting much of a break at all. It's the pace is unrelenting, and you know, we do our best to keep abreast of things, you know. Right now, I think very many of us who are also, you know, used to being on top of the story are finding ourselves reactive. Time to work and, you know, be the proverbial dog with a bone right now doesn't seem to be available, but we're going to have to find that and try to make some sense of all of this before too long. But you know, it's a it certainly has been a very eventful week or 10 days.
All right, so let's give our listeners the summary, and then we'll kind of move forward in what we can expect or maybe have seen over the weekend, and also could expect in the coming weeks. So last week was, as you said, dizzying. What do you think of the main things in addition to, of course, what I thought was highly disappointing? Not that I expected some huge turnaround, but I thought the meeting on Thursday was very disappointing, and so did a lot of our listeners because they wrote us about it. So we had the meeting with DiNardo and Gomez and O'Malley and the Pope last Thursday, and we received a couple of sentences from the Cardinal, really not saying all that much except that it was a fruitful meeting, basically. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, It was very disappointing, I'm quite sure. But I suspect, although I don't know this, that it was pretty disappointing for Cardinal DiNardo as well.
Right, right.
Who had asked for an apostolic visitation, announced his intention to ask the Holy Father for an audience in which to discuss it back in mid-August. So it wasn't that meeting was not quite a month in coming. And then, you know, it was 3 weeks, I guess. And after it did, there was essentially the sort of statement that you issue at the end of a meeting in which one accomplishes nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the Holy Father was moved on the point of an apostolic visitation or has any ideas about the next steps, we didn't get to hear about them. That's sort of been one of the most frustrating things, I think, for people all throughout this crisis as it unfolds, and not only in the United States either. That on the one hand, the Pope continues to say that we're all in this together and has acknowledged the need for responsible involvement of lay people and is attributed much of the cultural ills to the problem of clericalism,
mm-hmm.
But has been very short on details and has played his cards very close to his chest. So nobody really knows what he's thinking. He's not disclosing his mind on these things. And so I won't say that we're left to read the tea leaves, because his actions do speak for themselves, such as they have been. And he hasn't been silent either. He's made general statements, and he's addressed certain parts of the crisis obliquely in various places. He's written a few letters in which he said some of the right things and some other things that have frankly been quite consternating to a lot of people, and not just professional Catholics in the chattering classes, but foremost among the faithful of every state of life in the church, who are quite frustrated, I think, at this point. And I'm sorry to say it, but rightly so.
So where do we go from here this week? I mean, we know over the weekend, or at least on Thursday, there were the raids in Chile, and we know that he spoke in Sicily over the weekend and again addressed the fact that priests shouldn't be leading a double life. They need to be, you know, transparent, and they need to live a moral life. What can we see? Do we expect anything else out of Rome in the near future? Because all we know now is that we still have the Youth Synod planned, even though several bishops, including Archbishop Chaput, Bishop Burns, and some bishops from Europe have called for that to be canceled and for a special or extraordinary synod on bishops on their life and bishops and the clerics. That should be had instead. And now we have this meeting scheduled for February, which is months away, supposedly dealing with the crisis. But even that is focusing on pedophilia.
Well, that's one of the things in it, isn't it? That first of all, you had the announcement of that meeting midweek last week. That's a gathering of the presidents of the world's bishops' conferences, of which there are about 130, if you take the bishops' conferences and the sort of the analog organizations in the other ritual churches and some umbrella groups and things. You come up with a number that's about 130. And the heads of those organizations are going to meet in February to discuss the protection of minors. That was the way that the Council of Nine Cardinal Advisors expressed the topic or the subject of that meeting in the statement that announced it. Then the press office of the Holy See, in its own note that contained the C9 note, referred to minors and vulnerable adults as the subject of the meeting. Vulnerable adults is a term of art that seems at any rate to suggest that we are not thinking, or that the church is not thinking, when it talks about vulnerable adults, of anyone who is vulnerable or exposed to the threat of predatory ecclesial power, which would include seminarians, church workers, minors and adults, religious men and women, etc., but specifically refers to people who, owing to their own personal, physical, and intellectual circumstances, face daily challenges with self-sufficiency.
Chris, hold that thought. We have to take a break. We're up against the satellite. We'll be right back if you have a question for writer and speaker Chris Altieri on his article regarding summarizing everything that happened last week and looking toward the future. 877-573-7825. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What does the Eighth Commandment demand of us? The Catholic Catechism says this commandment forbids misrepresenting the truth in our relations with others. This derives from the vocation of holy people to bear witness to their God who is truth and who wills the truth. Offenses against the truth, either by word or deed, are fundamental infidelities to God and thus undermine the foundation of our covenant with Him. The Old Testament tells us God is the source of all truth. His word is truth, as is His law. Jesus Christ is the whole of God's truth made manifest. To follow Christ is to live in the spirit of truth, says the Catechism. Jesus taught His disciples the unequivocal nature of truth when He instructed them, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more is from the evil one." This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Keeping you up to date on all the developments in the ever-breaking story regarding the abuse situation, and it just continues. And again, it is a challenge keeping you up to date. We're working as hard as we can, trying to bring you the best writers and theologians and those who have been on top of this and kind of giving you their insight. And one of the great resources, in addition to Catholic News Agency, EWTNnews.com, the Register, our friends at Catholic World Report, and Chris Altieri has a terrific piece that he posted last week, kind of summarizing toward the end of the week everything that's happened. So I know you're familiar with the talk that Archbishop Shep Pugh on Friday gave, but I just wanted to repeat the quote that I ran in my news, because this is someone who does get it. Says, our country and the world need a pure voice speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ as a response. And this is what makes the current sex abuse crisis in the church so damaging and dangerous, like a lit match in a room full of kindling. Archbishop Shep Pugh said the leaders tasked with witnessing Christian truth to the world as bishops and religious superiors are exactly the men who have too often failed their people, failed their ministry, and even actively betrayed their vocation. We bishops and the Vatican are now seen as the problem. We need to face that fact honestly and work to change it by our actions. What say you to that very direct and honest comment by Archbishop Shep Pugh, Chris?
He's got as close to hitting the nail on the head with that, I think, as has just about any prelate who said anything about the current circumstances of the church, which are, you know, were a long time coming. This is not something that happened in a vacuum, and there was a proximate cause to it. As we all know, the revelations that Cardinal, former Cardinal McCarrick, was essentially an inveterate pervert and a serial abuser of minors, and one of the most powerful men in the U.S. hierarchy, and not only in the U.S. church, but in the worldwide church over the past, 30, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
As far as that is concerned, what Archbishop Chaput said. You can see that it is essentially the reason that there is so little confidence that another meeting of episcopal minds to talk some more about this crisis is going to be any part of any solution. The bishops are the problem. They're the principal, the primary beneficiaries of the broken culture of leadership right now. And so it is very difficult to see how they could expect the faithful to trust them to be agents of reform. And their actions need to be bigger and better than they have been. Just another meeting of bishops is, at the very best, more of the same. That ship has sailed, I think, the general consensus that I've seen.
Yeah, and the consensus that I'm getting, at least from my listeners on Catholic Connection, is that these are faithful Catholics. These are not people who go to Mass once in a while or take the faith lightly. And the trust is shattered for most of the people that have come. Not in Jesus, not in the church or the teachings, but in the leadership. And that's why I thought that Archbishop Chaput, that his statement was spot on. So what do you think should be done or could be done to start restoring trust? Because I think that's what we're all asking and wondering what the next step should be.
Goodness, that's a huge question.
I know, but I just want your thoughts and insights.
Well, there are different levels on which to respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
One would be some sort of stable public practice of reparation, of penance,
mm-hmm.
That the bishops could do. And in fact, there's no real reason for any ordinary not to undertake these, even without prompting or instruction from the Vatican, though I don't think it would hurt for the Vatican to suggest that steps like that be taken.
Yeah,
but that's on that is a spiritual response that can be made. There's nothing to keep the faithful themselves from doing penance, from making acts of reparation, from gathering together to pray, and also to demand accountability from their own bishops. I don't know at this point that there is anything that the hierarchy can do as a body on its own to repair the damage. They have, as a body, as you were saying, they failed. And practical steps to restore trust have to be decided, whatever they are, in concert with the lay faithful, with the clergy, of the lower ranks who themselves, by the way, to a certain extent, to a very great extent, I would even say, quite rightly, are under a cloud of suspicion.
Right.
That the bishops have let this get so far out of hand has really eroded trust.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we talk about the erosion of trust, we're not talking about simply sentiments of wariness or circumspection with regard to the whole body of the clergy, high and low. We're talking about a genuine inability to trust clerics.
Yeah, I'm hearing that. I'm hearing that very directly, where people are saying, I have not lost my faith, I will not leave the church, but the trust is gone. And I think what you mentioned early on, Christopher, regarding some act of reparation, and I know that some dioceses, for example, Pittsburgh is doing a series of things with that in mind. I think it would be great, and I've suggested this before, if they did a national mass of reparation in each diocese on the same day, and then at the bishops' conference also allow some victims to come forward and then to make some sort of a statement at the bishops' conference as well, a joint statement, a joint apology. But all the people that are writing to us, and I'm sure you're hearing the same thing, are saying that it has to involve laity and it has to involve law enforcement. I heard from a retired investigator yesterday, top police officer in our area, who says he's a devout Catholic. The only way this is going to get cleaned up is if law enforcement are involved, if the AG is involved, if the police are involved. So, I mean, and the people are offering suggestions, but every suggestion I've seen has been it's got to involve both the laity and law enforcement, and that's what we've come to. Chris, thanks so much. You're out of time. Great article. Christopher Altieri. You can find his latest story on CatholicWorldReport.com and also on my Facebook page. We'll take a look at the new president of Planned Parenthood and what that means for pro-lifers coming up next. Stay tuned.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
why
a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Recently, a Michigan State Court judge denied the Western Women's Center's request for restitution in a case involving a pro-life rescue. The Women's Center, a notorious abortion center located in West Bloomfield, Michigan, argued through the township's prosecutor that it was entitled to restitution for lost services and attorney's fees as a direct result of a trespass offense committed by five pro-lifers who peacefully entered the abortion center this past December to give red roses and a message of love and hope to the women in the waiting room. During the restitution hearing, the abortion center's office manager testified that 12 women did not follow through with their appointments the morning of the rescue, and that 11 of these appointments were for scheduled abortions. None of these women have since returned to the abortion center, nor returned the center's calls more than 6 months later. The center was desperately trying to reschedule the abortions. Thankfully, it did not succeed. Make no mistake, the pro-lifers were not going to pay a penny to these baby killers, even if the judge did order restitution. Thankfully, the judge followed the law and rejected the prosecutor's and the abortion center's frivolous request. At the end of the day, the hearing was a great success, because the abortion center had to admit under oath that many lives were rescued the day these courageous pro-lifers entered its waiting room. Mission accomplished. I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel for the American Freedom Law Center, bringing you this Faith and Freedom Minute. You can learn more about the American Freedom Law Center and its fight for your faith and freedom by visiting our website and liking us on Facebook.
Following up on another big story that affects us all in the church and in the world, and actually especially in the pro-life movement, of course, the largest abortion provider in the country, Planned Parenthood, announcing their replacement choice after Cecile Richards stepped down after many years as president and CEO. And their choice is a medical doctor known for her outspoken support of abortion, and she has a pretty bad record in fighting STDs and STIs, despite what she says. On the phone with us to talk about their selection is Catherine Glenn Foster, President and CEO of Americans United for Life. So I'm probably thinking you're not surprised that they went the way of a medical person for their new leader. What do you think? Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much for having me. No, I am not surprised. They have been spending the last 12-plus years, certainly all of the Phil Richards time there, trying to talk about their medical care and all of the medical work that they're doing. And so the idea of them putting a doctor as the head of Planned Parenthood, it makes sense. They are trying to appear more medical. They are trying to make it seem like they are a pivotal, a critical women's health care organization. And sadly, that's not what the numbers show us.
How involved had she been with Planned Parenthood prior to the announcement about her taking over as the president and CEO?
You know, certainly she was aligned on a lot of different issues. Seemed like some minimal involvement, having been involved in lawsuits with the administration and so on. But she has actually spent the last 4 years as health commissioner of Baltimore. So she was in charge of health care in Baltimore, of some similar things, like dealing with the STD scourge there in Baltimore and trying to combat that. So you see the parallels. Unfortunately, you see similarly that Baltimore did not have a lot of success in that regard in terms of trying to push down the spread of STDs in that city.
So for people who don't know about Dr. Leanna Wen, tell us a little bit about her medical background.
Sure. So she is, in fact, a doctor. She spent the last 4 years as health commissioner for the city of Baltimore. She has a very distinguished background. Actually, she when you look at her resume, she was Chinese born. She's a public health advocate. She was an emergency physician at George Washington University. Has been up in Massachusetts. Was on the faculty of Harvard Med School. And has that kind of background that you can see Planned Parenthood wanting, in addition to, of course, her work in Baltimore and her advocacy. She has been a public face on this issue, and she has advocated for what they would call reproductive health rights. The problem is she's also an outspoken advocate for abortion, something that the affiliate heads are going to like. They always chafed a little bit when Cecile Richards would say, well, it's only 3%, and would abortion's only 3% of the services that Planned Parenthood does. Of course, it takes some fuzzy math to get there, but they would say, well, why are we downplaying it if that's a core function of our organization, of what we do? And by all indications, it looks like Dr. Wen is going to be championing this issue.
Okay, so won't that cause confusion? That's not a very good PR move if she's going to be going against what Cecile Richards said for so many years. I hope she does, because the more confusion she causes, the worse Planned Parenthood looks. But I'm just saying, PR-wise, it's going to be a nightmare for them if she contradicts what Richards said.
Sure. Well, when you look at the trajectory of Planned Parenthood, of their services, of their patients, of their funding over the last 12 years, what we have seen is that the services have gone down, the actual health care has gone down. Of course, they don't provide mammograms, we know that. But the services have gone down, the patient numbers have gone down, the health care aspects have gone down. What's gone up? Abortions. What's gone up? Taxpayer dollars, rising dramatically. So I think that there is going to be a way that she will be able to say, you know, this is a core element of our program, and shift carefully. But it's going to be absolutely fascinating to see how that's handled from a PR perspective. Because we all know that 90%+ of the women who walk through the doors of the Planned Parenthood, if they're pregnant, they walk out without their baby. And so, it's all in the numbers. It's all about how you spin it. And Planned Parenthood has been spinning it one direction for so long, with Dr. Nguyen being a pretty outspoken abortion advocate, I suspect that may change.
What really got me, got my Italian up, was when she was, it was just hailing the organization's life-saving work. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. We're calling it a life-saving organization. She apparently says this without irony. And this, we're talking about our country's biggest abortion business, ending the lives of well over 300,000 unborn children every single year. And you look again at Baltimore, at her work in Baltimore, and you look at the African American population in particular in Baltimore, and how that population has been decimated by abortion. You look at the racial targeting, and it's troubling to say the least.
Well, what's so, I think, ridiculous is this whole idea that I mean, who was it, Einstein, who said insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results? Mm-hmm. And here they keep talking about the importance of providing all of these different birth control pills and different type of quote-unquote things for safe sexuality. And in the meantime, we have, and this did not get a lot of coverage in the secular media, by the way, got some, but not a lot. The Centers for Disease Control in August came out with their report regarding the numbers of STIs and STDs. Mm. So bad. Highest ever. Just through the roof. And it's so bad that they're calling on the president to call this a public health crisis. And then here you have Planned Parenthood saying that everything is great and we need more. It's not working. It doesn't work.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. It is not working. And I think that's borne out in the figures, that's borne out in what the CDC says. You look even at Planned Parenthood's efforts in this area. And a number of years ago, they're producing their own condoms. So Consumer Reports, of all things, we always listen to Consumer Reports when we're looking for a car or a washing machine or a vacuum cleaner or something. Well, they actually did a rating, a review of different condom brands, and found out that Planned Parenthood were bottom of the pile, most likely to break. Exactly. And so you're thinking, okay, is this a business move?
It is.
It makes you wonder.
I don't think it makes you wonder. Let's be honest. I mean, seriously, the more people need, the more people contract, God forbid, a sexually transmitted infection or disease, the more unplanned or unwanted pregnancies that happen, the bigger the business for Planned Parenthood is. They need people to act irresponsibly and not to live chaste lives. It's big business for them. I think it's pretty obvious. You just look at the facts. I'm not saying anything that I haven't said before. It makes perfect sense. I mean, go on their, I'm not telling you this, you know this better than anybody, but for those listening, go on their website and see what they promote to teens, for crying out loud.
It's absolutely horrible. It's I think the only word for it would be perverted.
Yeah.
And it goes on down from teens. You don't have to be a teen for them to be promoting this kind of, I would call it smut. We're talking about kindergarten on, words that I wouldn't say on air. I would barely say behind closed doors. This kind of promotion. And, what's interesting, they are so outspoken, if you want to say that, in this area, but then they denigrate the First Amendment by attacking conscience rights for principled pro-life individuals, pregnancy center volunteers, and doctors. Dr. Nguyen has actually teamed up with NARAL to force pro-life pregnancy centers to refer for abortion. Mm-hmm. The same thing that the Supreme Court back in June, same kind of idea, they said this looks really unconstitutional. And so that was a win for the pro-life movement, but that's one of the pieces of Dr. Nguyen's legacy.
So what do we as a pro-life people, do you think, Catherine, do with this information about the latest president of Planned Parenthood? How can we use this and make sure that we promote life? And what do we need to know here and go forward?
Yeah, we continue to spread the word. This really is more of the same. It's I think Planned Parenthood is trying to spin this as a new direction, a renewed focus on medical work as opposed to this partisan politics that they've put first. Think of all the times that Cecile Richards visited the Obama White House, for example, and the integral involvement of Cecile Richards and of Planned Parenthood and trying to craft health care. It's more of the same. It's more partisan politics, and Dr. Nguyen has shown that through her history. She may wear a white coat, but she is putting politics ahead of women's health. We saw that in Baltimore, and we have no reason to expect anything different in her time at Planned Parenthood. That is something that the American public needs to know. And it's a great time, a great opportunity. She just was on The View.
Of course she was.
Show. Mm-hmm. Of course. So, you know, she's out in the public consciousness. Planned Parenthood is in the public consciousness. And we can use Dr. Nguyen's history and Dr. Nguyen's partisan attempts to shut down the First Amendment rights of pro-life individuals, her efforts in Baltimore on a number of different fronts, not always successful, and of course talking about the history of Planned Parenthood and what has transpired with their patient numbers, with their abortion numbers, with their funding numbers. We're funding them more and more, and we're getting less and less actual health care out of it.
Yeah, and if they're doing such a great job, and if they're so important to bringing down STIs and STDs, why do we still have this major crisis in the country that we have, epidemic?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And they're seeing fewer and fewer patients all the time.
All right. Can we find more information about this on your website?
Absolutely. Our website is aul.org. Of course, we're discussing Dr. Nguyen, Planned Parenthood, and everything else relating to life. I would encourage all of your listeners to go there, get up to date, get all the latest news on everything relating to life. Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for all you do and appreciate the updates. And we've just been chatting with Catherine Nguyen Foster, President and CEO of Americans United for Life. And they did issue a very good statement in reaction to the election, or the choice, I should say, the new president for Planned Parenthood. It is a Monday morning, September 17th, and we'll be right back on Catholic Connection Coast to Coast and around the globe to let you know what's coming up on our program tomorrow. So appreciate all your emails and your support, and also your support for Ave Mira Radio last week in our fall membership drive. Thanks so much. We will be right back on a Monday. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hello, I'm Al Cresta. Thousands of poor Guatemalan families lost everything when Volcano Fuego's eruption wiped out their villages. You can restore hope to these grieving families by supporting Cross Catholic Outreach's efforts to build simple but sturdy replacement homes in a new volcano-safe zone. The Catholic Church is strongest when it stands together. Call 866-765-4280. That's 866-765-4280. Or by visiting crosscatholic.org/volcano.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable healthcare option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And don't forget to stay tuned to all of our great resources and programs. And you can find out the main information, two websites, very easy, EWTN.com and AveMariaRadio.net. And also, we still have that resource page that we continue to build for you at AveMariaRadio.net with ideas on how to write letters. And I was chatting with Al via email over the weekend, and he had a great conversation with one of our bishops here in Michigan who was saying how important it is for people to write from the heart. And this is so true when you're writing a letter, that form letters are highly are disregarded. And for a reason, because it's kind of like you're on some sort of a, or maybe even being forced to write some sort of a letter that was promoted by some particular campaign or group. They want to hear from you specifically. What has it meant to you? What have you gone through? What are you feeling? What are you seeing in your parish? Doesn't have to be long, but just make it personal. And the bishops are getting the letters. And so I just want to encourage you to not to take that lightly or to think that you're not being heard, because obviously they probably can't respond to each and every letter they get. But according to what we're hearing from the bishops, they are getting them. And we also want to remind folks that there are a lot of good bishops out there, just as the bishop that Al spoke with. We mentioned Archbishop Chaput and his honesty and directness in saying, hey, gentlemen, we're the problem. We need to address this. Very direct, loving, firm, but direct. And we need to work with our clergy to get to the bottom of this. And as our listener, Violet from Michigan, said, listening on Holy Family Radio, she's a nurse, and she says, if you have a wound that's hidden and you let it go, it just gets really ugly. And she said, if you recall the email that I read to you earlier, she said, I'll spare you the details. It's not a pretty picture. But if you get to it in time and you clean it up, it can prevent all kinds of problems. I do think that is an excellent analogy. And we should not be afraid of where the cross is going to lead us, because the Lord always has, despite how painful the moment is, always has our best interests in mind. It's a Romans 8:28 thing. It's not all about suffering and misery. We all go through that, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. Hold on to that. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on a Tuesday. More developments and lots of information for you. God bless you. Have a great day. Talk to you then.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.